cliffcentral.com.
I've always wondered about this. Do you use Uber?
Yes.
Okay. I hardly ever use it for much more than a 40-minute trip, but I've always wondered what the longest Uber trip is, because sometimes when you go into the Uber app and you type in the wrong address and it's an address overseas, it can actually give you a route. Like, it can show you, I could get to, I don't know,
via Addis Ababa.
Yeah, Bulgaria, and it shows you that there's probably some guy who's willing to take you, and the prices are like crazy, and the distance, and take you 10 days. But I suppose you could get an Uber anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just the driver has to accept, all right, well, that's my 10 days, but it's worth it. The fee's good. So what's the longest Uber trip anyone's ever taken in South Africa?
In South Africa, it was a trip between Port Elizabeth and East London.
What? Is that the longest?
Yeah, so not much under 600 kilometers.
I mean, that's far, don't get me wrong, but
569,000 kilometers long.
Between East London and PE?
Yeah, that's the longest anyone's gone here. I suppose we're used to using our own cars or taxis for that. You don't really go to an Uber as your first port of call.
I'm just surprised that PE and East London are that far apart. I thought they would be closer together. Google, we can't hear you. I don't know. Your microphone's not on. Check your switch over there. I'm sure there's something wrong. Go talk to me. No? No.
No.
The Google's mic's not working. All right.
Let's
see.
Port Elizabeth.
Port Elizabeth to East London. Put that into your Uber app. Hey, can we do a quick update on who's got the worst Uber rating at the moment?
Oh, no, I don't like this game.
I love this game. All right, go into your Uber.
Because
have you got yours there, please?
No, I haven't used it. I haven't used it since the last time we did this.
Oh, really?
That's weird. On Google Maps, it is 282 kilometers. Maybe it wasn't a straight trip. Maybe it was throughout.
Wow, because that's
the Eastern Cape.
Hell of a round trip. It does strike me as odd. There's no way there's 500 or 600 kilometers.
So the reason why we've got these stats is because Uber is celebrating 6 years of operation in South Africa.
Wow.
So they
only 6 years. It feels like it's been way longer.
Yeah. So they haven't said much more about that specific stat.
Huh.
But some other interesting things that they've said is that the most visited destination on Uber was O.R. Tambo in Joburg, Lanseria, Gold Reef City, Sandton Market at the park, Gautrain and Sandton City. In Cape Town, it's Cape Town International Airport, Waterfront Cape Wheel, Table Mountain Company Gardens, Durban, King Shaka, Gateway, Ushaka, Durban North Beach, and the Oyster Box Hotel.
I'm very surprised a club name hasn't popped up there.
This is true.
I don't know what I did before Uber. Because honestly,
isn't
I use
it weird like, now
when
to
I
think
go
about
to
it?
When I go to Durban or Cape Town now, I do not hire a car anymore. I used to. Now I just Uber everywhere I have to go.
And what did you guys? And I'm making you sound
like dinosaurs.
What did you guys do when you went out partying or clubbing?
We used to get lifts, so we would get
cabs. There used to be cabs, and a lot of people would drive, and they would drive drunk. Just because there wasn't an option. There's no public transport. So what did you do?
Most people would drive drunk.
People just used to get in the car, sloshed.
And they would boast about things like...
Wreck themselves.
I remember at Varsity, people would say, oh yeah, I had to use the cat's eyes as a guideline so that I knew I was driving straight. Yeah, I promise you, that's what it was like. That was the culture. So my rating is...
It's funny, but it's not funny.
4.75 stars.
Oh, wow. You're pretty good. I'm at 4.66.
I told you I don't like this game.
How's yours, Sia?
It's because you probably keep them waiting. Hey?
Come on, Sia.
No, I actually don't. I'm on a 4.36.
Ooh. I think if you drop below 4, they stop picking you up.
I know. I'm
very Google,
well
what's
aware.
Yours? Have you looked up your... You don't have an Uber rating? Get in here. I can't hear you.
I'm very well aware of my rating. I just don't understand how this has come to be.
I'm checking out. Let me. Where is this app over here?
This is going to take a while.
Yeah, it's going to take.
All right.
Just give me a second.
All right. Well, how's this? This is a real boast-worthy thing here, I think, from Neil. He says, my Uber rating is 4.92.
Oh.
Man, Neil.
How did you get that? How did you get that, Neil? What do you, have you only ever been
on
one trip?
Flowers?
And you took, yeah, you tipped them like 500 rand. Yeah, you see a lot of people agreeing with me that the PE East London round trip is really not that long.
It's so odd.
See, I don't be so naive. We drove drunk and bribed cops. We drove by Braille, Carl. See, that's the kind of thing the
by Braille?
Yeah.
On
yeah.
cat's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the official rating where they kick you off on Uber, and there isn't one. They just still stand by saying, if your rating drops to a certain level, they're entitled to kick you off the app.
Wow, here's a nice long walk. If you, Rob has just put into his Uber app to go from here to, where is it, Uzbekistan.
Oh.
It'll take 107 days and 11 hours walking.
Why would you want to do that to yourself?
This is on like Google Maps or something.
Why?
Why would you want to go to Uzbekistan?
Yeah, just don't.
So in total, Uber drivers in South Africa have traveled 9 million kilometers.
Yeah.
One driver.
Are you sure about that number, Leanne?
Well, it's they've written it out as 9,138,767.37.
Oh yeah,
it's quite difficult to read.
You don't trust her anymore.
It is 9 million.
I think this is exactly the font and format they used in Zuma's speech.
9,138,767.37 kilometers.
Somebody says their friend was kicked off the Uber app.
Yo, the end is nigh.
I want to know what. Yeah, maybe we should speak to someone from there.
The end is nigh.
That would be a problem.
There are certain things, and this is probably why my rating is so low, that I still stand by and I don't feel bad for. For example, I know certain drivers prefer to have, you know, if you're a single passenger, sit on the passenger seat. I don't do that because, firstly, the killer. Secondly, if I were to encounter someone who was violent with me, I'm not a fight nor a flight person. I'm a scream and pass out and die. So rather I pass out in the back seat or have a chance to like slip out at the back than to engage in
so
any way.
So do you
way.
Literally say no if they ask you to sit?
Absolutely.
In
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd rather be a fool and alive than, you know, try to be smart
because
and
you,
dead.
You think no, that he'll stab you in the leg.
When I get into a taxi, I sit in the back. That's in the front.
And if he asked you, he said...
No, no one's ever asked me.
I've been asked. Of the violence. You know, you pretend you're not in an Uber. You pretend he's your mate. And I've done it.
And call me, you know, snobbish, but if I'm paying for a service, there are certain things that I prefer, like being dropped at a specific place. Don't drop me 100 meters away because it's convenient for you.
How many trips
and
do you think?
And that's why I'll be kicked off.
How many trips do you think is the most that one Uber driver's done in South Africa?
20,000?
I was going to say
double
15.
It, 40. 38,700. Oh, and how many active Uber drivers do you think there are in South Africa?
Too many.
13,000. No.
This is a great way to prove that and technology many, can create jobs.
Yeah, and many were previously unemployed.
How many did you say?
13,000.
Great. I love that. I mean, I've told you, you know, it's anecdotal, but I've met, there was a woman who drove me once from Pretoria to Joburg, and she told me she owns 3 cars. Her nephew drives the one, and one of her friends drives the other, but she owns all 3 cars. She's like a taxi boss, but in a legit way, you know, she can only charge a certain amount and she pays these two now have work and she's actually paying for her kid to go through varsity with her 3 cars.
Yeah.
You know, driving here when I do, close to my house, there is an Uber driver who obviously travels in from quite far where they're in probably a quite a remote area where there aren't opportunities for him as an Uber driver. He obviously gets up really early because I drive past him at about 5:30 in the morning and he's just got out of his car. He's parked on the side of the road. He obviously slept there for a few hours and he's cleaning his car every morning, doing the same thing, getting ready to do his work his day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard work. There's no such thing as easy money anywhere in the world. And if Uber can create the opportunity for people to actually independently start making some money, I say power to them.
Yeah.
Here's someone's got a 4.44 rating. That's pretty shitty. You should, nothing to boast about there, Natasha. You should be embarrassed, actually. I have my 5-star rating, and I'm pretty damn proud of it.
And do you use your app often then?
Niska says she believes if you just don't act like a dick, people will wish you well, and they will rate you well.
4.8, Gareth.
Oh, nice. Google. Sure.
I'm a nice guy.
There's a cheat for upping your rating. You show the driver that you're giving him 5 stars, and he does the same. Neil. That's Neil, who has a 4.92. Oh. Apparently, that person who was thrown off the Uber app was thrown off for climbing into the boot and passing out.
Oh, my word.
And then the driver couldn't wake her.
Oh, no.
Yes.
She's well done on her for getting into the boot drunk. I wouldn't be able to do that.
What a great story.
No, it's not a great story. It's terrible. It's very embarrassing.
It's something you tell your grandchildren.
Just on the Uber thing, it's actually better to sit in the front seat, because if you were to be kidnapped, it's the back passenger seats that can be chadlocked. But the front passenger seats cannot be chadlocked. So if you're sitting in the front and they try to kidnap you, you can open the door and roll out of the car, or, you know, cause a distraction. But if you're in the back, your chances of surviving a kidnap are very, very limited.
Right, Spore. Oh, great.
You've got something new to think about, Sia. And imagine this piece of glass just rolls up as well between the two of you, or a cage.
you like making Sia paranoid.
Or someone pops out from the boot and they just.
I just like it when he thinks he's got it right. And then you just throw a spanner in the works.
You know what? I'm going to walk everywhere from now on. Right. She started to sweat a little. Here's an interesting, it's not necessarily a debate, but just two different sides of things. And I wonder what the outcome of this will be. It's taking place here in South Africa. And a lot of Sangomas are banding up together saying that they would like to be appointed onto the South African Medical Research Council as well. These Sangomas are saying that for one to actually become a Sangoma, you have to undergo training. And they are already, I won't call it an official board, but there are elders, for example, who overlook this training, and they'll grade you and and say you are now ready to practice or you are not ready to practice. And technically, if you go to a Sangoma, you also get to have some types of medicine distributed to you. And so this is now when Sangomas in 2019 are actually saying, hold up, why can't we be appointed to the South African Medical Research Council? I know a lot of people will have differing opinions on this, but they're saying if the likes of Chinese medicine can be counted and being included to the research council, and, you know, the feng shui is also included, and ear candling is included, why can't Sangomas as well be included?
Yeah, I say let all the people who are doing whatever they do, let them all join. I mean, hell, if you're going to let people who do ear candling in,
be part of the council,
why not let the Sangoma in? I don't even know that this medical, what are they called?
The South African Medical Research Council.
Yeah.
Imagine how many people are batting heads there. That was a very bad sentence, but you know what I mean.
Imagine the batting of
in the bat of the heading of the bat.
Because where do you draw the lines on what is legitimate or not?
Well, I'll tell you what's illegitimate. Oh. Vincent says he has a 4.43 rating because his date was so drunk that she pissed on the back seat.
It can't just be horrible. One encounter, right?
Well, one encounter, if they give you a 0 or a 1 rating, you can't give a 0, then I think that can hit you quite hard.
You'd have to do a lot of trips to make up for that, being really good.
I don't think I've ever done anything really bad in an Uber.
Not in an Uber, but I was like 21 and I went and worked in the UK and couldn't handle my alcohol at all at that stage.
What, you were 5?
No, I was 21. I only started drinking at that stage.
Thought you started much earlier.
I was sitting in between my two American compatriots, and I was in the back of a taxi, and I needed to get sick.
Uh-oh.
And I had to lean over one of them out the window. That's the only bad thing I've ever done.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, I've been in, you know, bigger sort of van taxis in the UK, where it's filled with a whole lot of friends and people are going crazy, telling him to turn up the music, mm-hmm. dancing, and I'm always at the back feeling so embarrassed.
Hmm. All right.
I don't think it's too bad.
Not great.
It's not the worst of things to happen.
All right, what else is going on?
I don't know.
You don't know.
No. Oh.
There is.
You don't know what else is going on, or you don't know what else is going on in Ubers.
Like, I don't know. You know, because as well, since we are on the topic, Kaya Dlanga recently had a series of his tweets go quite popular on Twitter recently because he was in Durban, and he just thought he was just being nice to his Uber driver and said, actually, you know, they can stop by the petrol station and we can fill up his tank. And he said this, his Uber driver started crying. And by the way, you can take it with a pinch of salt, knowing that he dictated all of these deeds online. But anyway, his Uber driver supposedly started crying because actually this guy didn't have enough money. And the reason why he didn't have enough money is because he is a driver for someone else who owns the car. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain cap that he has to reach every single week. So he had to make 3,000 rands every single week for the owner of the car. And then everything else afterwards is his own. And that week he barely had made 200 rands for himself. So he actually didn't even know what he was going to do or how else he was going to have to drive around. And so Kaya was basically tweeting all of this out to say, let's actually be more aware of what is happening around us and also learning more about, you know, our Uber drivers and the Uber model.
Yeah, and especially just not pee on the back seat.
Oh, my word.
Because you don't know what these guys are going through. They might be having a tough.
And don't get me wrong. I also don't think you need to be best friends with your Uber driver and solve all their life's problems because they're just providing you a service. Mm. You know, we're not all here to be social workers. But just don't, like whoever it was, he said, just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
I agree with that. My rating is 4.34. But my only crime is striking up political conversations. That's Carl.
You know what I'm sure must drive Uber drivers mad?
Them mad?
Is when women do their makeup in the back seat. Because I know for a fact you're going to mess. There's a chance of you messing eyeshadow or dropping a lipstick. But anyway, moving on from Uber.
Okay.
You've upgraded your iPhone, haven't you, Gareth?
I have. To the new iOS 13.
Yes.
I don't know if I like it yet. I'm still deciding.
See, that's why I always give it a week or two of other people testing it out.
Listen to the problems.
I do.
But did you know that you can now, Gareth, send spam calls directly to voicemail?
Oh,
yes. I saw that in the little article I read.
Yes.
But I don't know if
your phone won't even ring if you turn this new feature on.
But I never check voicemail, so what if it isn't someone I know?
But a spammer is not going to leave you a voicemail.
Oh, I see. But then I still have to listen to voicemail if it sends someone who isn't a spammer there. I never listen to voicemail.
Yeah, but you could give it a try.
Should I do it? Just,
yes,
just
I'll tell you how to set it up.
Just tell me to do it or not.
Yes, just try
it. You make the decision for me, Leanne. I abdicate responsibility to you.
Okay, so you open settings.
Okay.
Tap your phone.
Okay.
Scroll down to silence unknown callers.
Wow.
Unknown callers.
And that's it. Now, any numbers that aren't in your contact list will be silenced and sent straight to voicemail.
No, wait a minute. Anyone who you don't have saved will go straight to your voicemail.
Well, that's...
Silence unknown callers.
It's saying that it's robocalls and spammers.
Yeah, I'm just worried it's people who aren't in my address book.
Yeah, so
that's what I would be concerned about too.
See, this is Apple's way of trying to be innovative at this stage in the game.
All right, well.
So it means that you need to have things like your doctor's office or on your phone, but I do.
No, all right. Well, I don't have all the numbers of people who call me, so I think I better leave it off.
Okay.
All right, but thanks for that. You tried.
Even you tried, but it just doesn't work out.
Oh, gosh. Okay, here's something interesting. The average worker spends 51%, that's half of each workday, on 3 unnecessary tasks.
That much time?
51%.
What are they?
Half of your workday is spent on 3 unnecessary tasks.
Are these like vices, like smoking, or these things that they should be doing?
Things that happen to
work?
Everybody.
Okay.
Number 1, unnecessary commuting.
Yeah.
Huge
amounts of commuting.
And that's why there is a call for companies to allow people to work from home and only come into the office when they need to.
Very good. I went to a meeting yesterday in the CBD. Mm. The meeting was 37 minutes long.
How long did it take
driving
you to get
there? And driving back was probably an hour and a half.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. Let's say the average one-way commute to work is about 27 minutes. I would say in heavy traffic in Joburg, it's more. Cape Town, I think I would also put it at about half an hour.
All right.
And that's already about 6 minutes more than in 1980 because of population increasing. And that's just the average. I mean, some people commute for up to 3 hours. There is the Pretoria to Joburg thing. Some people still aren't using the car train.
That's hard. Wow.
That means, okay, so let's say your daily commute is half an hour. It means by the time you retire, you would have spent about 5.6 years behind the wheel, which is roughly 13% of the time you've committed to work.
Hmm.
So a lot of office jobs can be conducted from home.
All right, so commuting is one. What else is
there? The second one is unnecessary meetings.
Oh.
The average worker spends about 22 years of their 45-year career in meetings.
That's almost half.
Yeah, and a third of that time is spent in meetings where there's no value added.
Oh, I hate that.
Half of your working life is spent in meetings.
So by the time the average worker retires, they'll have spent 7 years in useless meetings.
Mm.
And number three, unnecessary emails. This makes up 23% of it.
What's the definition of an
unnecessary
email?
Where you've been CC'd in something or BCC'd in something unnecessarily.
Is that the third one?
Yes, unnecessary emails.
Yeah, people covering their backsides because they copy everyone in an email so it looks like they're working hard.
Yeah. And also just irrelevant mails as well. Things that you've already discussed. Like, hi, just to confirm, I'll be doing this and this. You've already discussed it in that meeting that you had. So the average office worker spends 2.5 hours a day reading and responding to the emails, which most of them are CCs and BCCs. So how do we get around it? Implement company-wide work from home.
Yeah.
Create an efficient meeting culture. Now, this is I like these. That you don't have a meeting unless it has an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have these status updates where you go around the room because some people are going to just think of things to say.
Yeah, and fill up useless time.
Yeah.
I agree.
No meeting longer than 30 minutes because it seems the standard here is an hour just because your calendar sets it up as an hour.
Mm.
As soon as you realize that you're not adding value to the meeting, you leave. Go and do your work. Shouldn't be anything wrong with that. And another thing that can, well, for the emailing in particular, the unnecessary emailing, these are some of the approaches to throttle your email system.
Okay, I like this. I'm taking notes. Go.
Number one, turn off email during peak working hours.
Ooh.
To actually get about the business
of
working.
The stuff that you need to do. Number two, limit the number of emails an employee can send each day. Now, I really like that. You're allowed to send 15 emails today. Use it wisely.
That could be a problem.
I feel like it's a little tricky.
Okay, then up the number. Discourage CC, BCC and reply all emails. So, I mean, just think about it. Does everybody really need to see your thanks for the update?
Yeah, no, nobody does. I never do that, though. I don't copy people on thanks and things like that. It's a waste of time.
And also, the fourth thing is discouraging behaviors like trying to receive a zero inbox. Because what do we do with that? In order to get rid of that niggly email that's been sitting there for weeks,
we just delete it.
We reply it. Thanks for this, saw it. Just so that we've actioned it and the ball's now in their court.
See what you mean.
Yeah, so all just right. Be more efficient, really.
You want to play a game? Gugu went and found the whitest white person he could find and the blackest black person he could find and asked them questions.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if they know what certain things mean that would probably not mean anything to their very, very closed off race group and mindset. Okay, so let's try this. All right. First of all, we've got who we got here? We've got Crystal K, who's the Real Housewife of Joburg.
Oh, right? Fabulous.
You like her, Sia.
The Real Housewives of Johannesburg She's is coming terrific. Back for a second season this Friday.
And is she in it?
Oh, yes, she is.
Okay, and then Sia Seya, who's the comedian. And we have the answers as well as the questions. So you can play along okay. in your car or in your office or wherever you are this morning, all right?
Let's it go. Means what is the underlying...
Okay, so this first one is... let me just... What's this first... Oh, otherwise. If someone it says means, otherwise...
It means what is the underlying meaning? What is the other meaning that could be there?
All right, so if someone goes otherwise...
So a black person says otherwise...
No, what they mean is like, how are you?
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Otherwise, boy.
But they mean, how are you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So she thinks it means, what's the other meaning?
Yeah. It means, what is the underlying meaning? What is the other meaning that could be there?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, she's wrong. So that's 1 point to the blacks. All right.
No, grammatically, she's right.
Yes.
No,
but no. If someone asks that, it's like...
It's a greeting.
Yeah, it's a colloquialism. It's
no,
a,
but if you look up the definition of otherwise, yes. It means another meaning.
Yes, but we're not asking her that. We're asking her
yeah.
if...
Oh,
if
I see.
If a black person says
yeah.
to
oh, black people say to each
okay,
other,
got it.
Otherwise, you go, oh, yeah, otherwise things are good.
In on the game now, thank
right.
you.
Okay. Now you understand.
Yes.
All right. TT. Do you know what that is?
TT.
Like 10 toes?
So is this if a black person
yeah,
says
Yeah, says, well, I use 10 toes, you know?
Oh, TT. Like you walk.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, yeah. I got that.
Means you're walking.
Never mm-hmm. heard that.
Or what else is there to this, maybe?
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, otherwise.
Okay. So now, otherwise, he's going to give the answer so okay. that we know for sure, all right?
Otherwise means it's a greeting, man. What's up? What's happening? Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, Fede.
All right. Next one is the TT, 10 toes. So let's see if she knows whether or not that means that someone went by foot.
TT. It actually just sounds like some part of the female anatomy to me. That's about the only thing that I can think of. But clearly it's not.
She's thinking titty.
Mm. Crystal.
I know.
Your friend.
I know. So let's try the answer.
You don't have a car. Mm. You have earphones. Yeah, you are walking. Mm.
All right. Next one.
How does earphones and car go together?
That part I don't know either. I'm obviously too white to know that.
I think
walkers
I'm not black.
Always have earphones on. People with cars.
Catching a cab. Now catching a cab.
Surely catching a taxi.
Right.
Yes. They're catching a taxi, right?
Okay. She thinks it's hilarious. Here's the
catching
answer.
Catching a cab. Yeah, a taxi. I'm going to taxi. 15 seat. Don't sit in the front. You'll be the accountant there. You are not ready.
Oh. All right. Yeah. And the last one Love is, that. This is pretty easy. This is walkie-talkies. I say it's pretty easy because
I know what it
I
is.
Think most people have encountered this. Walkie-talkies, chicken, feet and head.
Mm.
Chicken feet.
So let's see if Crystal knows what it is.
Well, I know what real walkie-talkies are. Those are things that you carry around and you talk through them and you have communication with someone else.
She's technically correct, of course.
Yeah, but she didn't even try anything else.
No, she does not understand these double meanings at all.
Yes.
And it's not her fault. She's not dumb. It's just these are things that most of us are not aware of unless we actually have black friends or we spend a lot of time around people who are not culturally the same as us.
No, it's chicken feet.
And head.
And head. Walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm. So there's something cool. We'll see if we can do some more of these.
Oh,
teach
Crystal.
Each other
That's
about
actually
each other.
Really, that phrase is really funny, walkie-talkie.
So isn't it cool, though, that we... Because a lot of these things... for example, I didn't know 10 toes until
No,
I
didn't know that.
Hmm.
Hadn't heard that.
And you learn interesting things. And, of course, now we're going to turn it around where Crystal gets to ask Sia some things and we see if they can figure each other out the other way around.
Hopefully so. I'll learn a thing or two about you, Leanne.
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
But you see, you're not the blackest black and I'm not the whitest white. So we kind of meet in the middle.
Yeah.
All right. There's some other things that are going on. Apparently, the FBI has found a man that says he killed 93 women in America's deadliest serial killing. This is just... I think we referred to this last week, but it turns out the number's even higher than we thought.
Yeah, so what's happened is this man is already in jail. He's in a Californian prison. His name's Samuel Little, 79 yeah. years old. He confessed last year, and only now, I mean, it takes ages to process all of this confessional data that he's given. The FBI has now revealed through their analysts that this now makes him the deadliest serial killer in America sure. ever. Because they now believe his confessions are credible. He even went as far as creating his own drawings of the women as he remembered them. And has now fully confessed. He claims to have killed more than 90 women across the US.
Wow.
He's now considered to be the most prolific serial killer in the country's history. So he's been behind bars only since 2012. He told investigators last year he was responsible for about 90 killings between 1970 and 2005. So he went on for 40 years doing this before being jailed.
What do you think eventually made him own up? What do you think he eventually...
Credit, maybe.
Do you think he wanted credit?
Yeah, that's how these people think. Sick.
Probably, but I don't see how anything could have helped because he is serving multiple life sentences.
Yeah, but how old was he when he got caught?
79. So, he wasn't 79. 79 now. And he was caught in 2012. So he was about 70.
Hmm.
Credit. He's lived his life, you know.
He's 72.
Sure.
All of his victims, nearly all of them women, he said he strangled. And all across America.
92 women.
I mean, how do you even...
That's sick.
That's just your... It becomes your life.
I suppose eventually, though, you have to get it off your chest, right? That's also part of it.
So some of his victims were on the margins of society. Many were originally deemed overdoses
mm-hmm.
or accidental causes, and some bodies were never found. But yeah, he's made these like haunting little portraits, mostly of black women, describing the women that he strangled. The one woman, he said he rolled her down a slope on a desolate road.
Sure.
I think when you... Maybe he's seeking spiritual retribution by admitting to these things.
I don't know. There are a lot of weird motivations of these people. Like Gugu says, sometimes they also want credit. If you're the most prolific serial killer in American history, maybe you want that.
Yeah, maybe you want to overtake the person who is being labeled as the most prolific.
Well, we go from the most prolific serial killer to the oldest man in American politics, Bernie Sanders. That's coming up just now. He had a heart attack, but he's going to carry on campaigning to be president.
Nothing's going to stop him.
No. So I'll play you a little clip of him in a moment. But first, Elson is on the line. Elson is one of our listeners. He's from Zim, and we thought we'd check in with Elson and find out what the latest is on what's going on in Zimbabwe. Hey, Elson, how are you, man? Elson? You there?
Might be a systemal error.
Yeah, wanted to ask him because some people in Zimbabwe think the former First Lady Grace Mugabe is using the issue of Robert Mugabe's death to reassert herself as a force to be reckoned with politically in the country, and that they're building this very bizarre mausoleum for him, which is going to become like a shrine. It's going to take a whole long time to build it, and a lot of people are critical of that.
Yeah. Remember I said to you, I spoke to one of my mom's carers who's Zimbabwean, and she's in her 60s.
Yeah.
And she said Mugabe was an absolutely good man until he married her.
Sure.
He said that was the end of any type of goodness that was part of Mugabe. And a lot of Zimbabweans really despise her for this, for like changing the way he was.
Yeah, and they say
that she was rich for power. I mean,
hungry for power. Yeah, I don't know if that's ever fair to like blame the wife. Like he was obviously a bad guy beforehand. I mean, we knew that. But yeah, people love to do that. They demonize the woman, you know. Hey, Elson, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good, man. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So what's happening? What's the latest in Zim, man? We haven't had an update since Bob Mugabe died.
It's been a lot of drama. I'm not quite sure. Normally you have this guy from Zim who gives you updates. So I'm not quite sure how much you had.
Yeah, we speak to KF Malindi usually.
That's him, yeah. So there was a whole lot of drama around his burial. I'm sure you heard about that. So initially, obviously, it stated that because he's a former head of state, he was meant to be buried at the Heroes Acre. But he gave specific instructions that he wanted to be buried in his hometown. Mm-hmm. A big part of this is because he believed that, and don't laugh at this,
all right,
because this is real. He believed that had he been buried at the Heroes Acre, people were going to dig up his body and take his body parts for rituals.
Okay, I tried not to laugh. I'm sorry, I tried.
But maybe
that's not so far-fetched. I think some people would have, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there was a whole tug of war for his body because the current president wanted his body at the Heroes Acre, obviously for show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the wife, obviously, because she had spoken to him and she got specific instructions, number one, not to let the coffin out of her sight, and number two, to make sure that he was buried at his home village. So there was this tug of war, but eventually the state gave in and he was buried where he wanted to be buried. And I saw photos of the burial site.
Hold on, what is his hometown?
It's called Zimba.
Okay, where is that?
It's about 30-40 k's out of the capital.
Okay.
Towards Bulawayo.
All right. And
Bulawayo is the place where he killed a lot of Ndebeles, if you remember.
I do remember that. So
yeah,
you were saying the burial site itself, what do we know about that?
There was a whole lot of concrete.
Oh, really? So they obviously bury him under tons of concrete, huh?
Yeah. No, that was crazy. It was, apparently his body was in the house for quite a period. And we actually saw Julius Malema coming through as well. Did you guys see that?
I did see that. He went to pay his respects.
Mm-hmm. Weird guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I heard you guys speak about something to do with Grace. I caught the last end of that conversation.
Yeah, she's using, obviously, this is what happens, you know, politically, it's useful for her to make his death an opportunity for her to get some attention, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is always what happens. So what do you know about her prospects of being politically important after he's gone?
So I was in Zim over the weekend, and I was speaking to my uncles and my dad about this, that everybody knows that had it not been for what happened, which is obviously the coup that they say was not a coup, the person who would have been president right now is Grace. I don't know if you guys know this.
I heard that.
Yeah, because right around the time, so here's the timeline. Right around the time that the current president, who was the vice president then, was fired, leading up to that, there was an onslaught. These guys began attacking him verbally, in public, and etc. And on the day that he was fired, he knew he was meant to be assassinated. So he fled the country on that day.
Wow.
And so when he got fired, the plan was now to put Grace as VP,
yeah,
to then succeed Bob. Didn't work according to how they planned it, because when the current president... Shit, I hope I'm going to get shot for this. Because when he fled, he then spoke to the current vice president, who then was the army general, to lock down Bob. At the Blue Roof, and then he came back to Zim because he fled to Mozambique, then flew to SA, and then 2 weeks after that, he then flew back to Zim when Bob was under house arrest. They negotiated his exit, and
I remember that.
Yeah. So the plan was obviously to install Grace as the replacement for Bob, which was going to be a lot worse than where we are right now.
So, I mean, it's hard to imagine that things could be a lot worse, but it is possible. So what's the latest? Do you think that she's got a chance of re-entering politics and actually being an important player?
Hell no. In fact, the only reason why that woman has not been arrested was out of respect for Bob.
Hmm.
And if she's as smart as I think she is, the second that they laid Bob to rest, she must have been on the next flight out of Zim. If you were to just go on YouTube and Google the shit that she said about the current dude, and this is a very ruthless guy, by the way. I'm sure you guys have heard about this.
Mnangagwa, yeah, sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. He doesn't forget. Right now, currently, a bunch of people that were in the government are on the run, people like Jonathan Moyo and etc., because they said half the shit that this woman said.
Mm.
So she said a whole lot of stuff. And the only reason why she was not locked up was obviously because of Bob. But now that the guy is gone, I don't think she'll be in Zim for an hour longer than she should be. So I don't think she'll even think about politics, let alone go back to Zim. In fact, here's a very fun fact. The huge house they lived in, I'm sure you saw that on the news.
Yes.
That was not owned by Bob or the wife. That was owned by ZANU-PF.
Wow.
Yep. So essentially, ED owns the place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Who, first of all, where do you think she would go? What country would want her?
Oh, man. Whatever country wants her money. Because I'm sure you guys heard about there was $15 billion worth of diamonds that just disappeared from Zim.
Hmm.
Yep. There were diamonds found in Zim. And of those diamonds, $15 billion of those just went missing.
Wow.
So we know, yeah, so we know who had access to those.
Oh.
So, look, she's not going to starve. She's got quite a lot of money. So whatever country, I mean, Dubai right now is heaven for people like the Guptas. So there's plenty of places where she could go. And now we've seen houses that she owns in Singapore and Dubai and all those places. So I'm sure she'll be all right.
Well, I'm just blown away by how much, like, she gets away with a lot, this woman, huh? I mean, she got away with a lot when she was in South Africa and she behaved badly with an extension cable. But it seems like
money and power.
Yeah, money and power, huh?
Money and power.
Well, how's the economy in Zim? I mean, can people buy things? Because the shops were empty last time we spoke.
Things are really tough, man. I mean, I was in Zim for about 4 days. In the 4 days I was in Zim, petrol went up twice.
Jeez, man. The media can't even keep up with that.
What's in the price?
All right, so I don't want to confuse you, Gugu.
Uh-huh.
So I'll say this really slow. Have you got an abacus where you are?
I don't know if Gugu knows what an abacus is.
Hey, so I'm just being mean. So there's what they call the RTGS dollar.
Okay.
Because they banned the US dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So the rate changes every single day according to demand. So you have to check the rate on that day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the rate today is 1:17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the rate is where the petrol normally is pegged. So when I left, petrol was at, I don't want to lie, I think 15 RTGS dollars, which is just about a dollar.
Shoot.
So the government still heavily subsidizes fuel. I mean, for a poor country, it doesn't make sense. If you look at the region, like Zambia, where I am now, petrol is about $1.50. But in Zim, where people are literally having to suck D for dinner, they're heavily subsidizing fuel, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. There's a lot about Zimbabwe that doesn't make sense.
I can't believe how many calculations you have to make on a specific day at a specific time to figure out how much petrol is. Yeah,
Elson,
it's actually... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, finish that thought.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's actually funny. There was a signpost which was put up in one of the supermarkets which said that the price that you see on the shelf may not necessarily be the price that you're going to see on the till. So if you see toothpaste as $5, it might actually go up before you get to the till. So get the final price of the till.
Damn.
Wow.
Hectic.
Crazy.
So confusing.
How many people have you got in Zim that you worry about, like family and friends? Is everybody there?
Yeah, well, not really. My parents.
Okay.
Yeah, but they are good. They've got their own businesses. Although, of course, it's suffering. I've got two sisters. The one is in Australia. The other one is there in SA.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, so I guess the three of us, we sort of kind of band together and help my parents out back in Zim.
All right, dude. Well, good luck to them.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we take no pleasure in Zimbabwe's misfortunes because it has an impact on our economy. It has an impact on people that we know and we love. So obviously we're holding out hope that things will come right. But my God, you've got shit leaders. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man. Let's hope it'll come to an end soon.
Mm, hope so. All right, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, dude.
Just before I go, there's one other thought that I wanted to give you guys. I don't know if you thought about this. There was a story you guys spoke about a couple of weeks ago about a Tesla, actually two Tesla drivers who were caught sleeping. You remember that?
Yeah.
Have you guys thought that Tesla could have been behind that?
You mean that
for marketing?
Yeah, that they're kind of letting people know that the Tesla's so great that you can even fall asleep.
There you go. Yeah. So it just looks like a viral video of a driver who just took. Yeah. But the fact that everybody is talking about it now is good marketing for those guys.
Why don't you stop with your conspiracy theories, huh?
I can't. I'm bored. That's the only thing I could do.
We can tell.
Thanks, man.
All right, man.
Cheers. Bye-bye. There's Elson from Zim telling us about what's going on over there.
Yikes.
Bloody hell.
Well, sure, yeah.
If we're talking some country news.
Wait. Before we get to that, I promised you I'd play you old Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yes.
Here he is explaining, I've had a heart attack, but I'm still in the game.
Why, for example, does he have to... You know, they're also so basic in the way they present themselves. He's trying to walk out of his house and seem like the guy next door.
Oh, beautiful fall day, but hey, somebody has got to do it.
He's muttering to himself. I think it's his wife next to him. He's walking down the driveway and he goes, it's a beautiful fall day, but hey, someone's got to do it. Listen to the guy.
Vermont. Had a beautiful fall day, but hey, somebody has got to do it.
Absolutely. All right, I just wanted to say thanks for being here.
He's muttering like an old man mutters. Mm-hmm. I mean, shut up. Yeah. Have you ever walked past like an old dude who looks like Bernie Sanders? They always talking to themselves. Anyway. Go ahead, Bernie.
Doing some walking, getting stronger. And,
doing some walking.
Do you plan to release from the doctor today?
Well, the truth is that my main doctor is in Washington, D.C.
So he's got one main doctor, and then he's got other doctors.
I had a doctor here in Vermont, let alone a cardiologist. So we're going to meet him. I understand he's a very good cardiologist. I need on a regular basis to get some checkups.
This is not good for a candidate for president. I mean, you remember when Hillary passed out at something, and then they said, oh, she can't be president. It's not great. Bernie's the oldest guy in the race.
78 years old.
And he's look, Biden's also a bit doddery.
2 years younger than...
But if you're having heart attacks, and he had a proper heart attack, and he was bedridden, and he was recovering, I don't think this is good for his presidential campaign.
Jeez. I mean, if you have a heart attack, it can be different to somebody else's heart attack.
Sure,
they're not all the same, but it does take months to recover.
He's walking around muttering incoherently.
But talking about that old man muttering, have you ever been in a grocery store? And I've seen a lot of women who do this. I do it in my head, and I have to really concentrate not to say it.
Senator Bernie Sanders.
But yes. You see women going... brown bread cheese, biscuit spinach.
Yes.
Brown bread cheese, biscuit spinach.
Is that like the list so you don't forget?
Yeah. And they're walking around going, brown bread, brown bread, brown bread.
All right, what did you want to say, Sia?
I do that all the time with no shame. Let's congratulate Saudi Arabia.
What have they done now?
Coming into the year 2019.
What have they done?
Well, congratulations, because they've now announced that they will allow unmarried foreign couples to rent hotel rooms together. Oh, wow. This is
a big deal.
This is amazing. This is the ultra-conservative kingdom now beginning to offer up tourist visas for the first time. Their tourism authority said in a statement that also, get this, this is going to knock your socks off, Saudi women traveling alone can also check into hotels.
No, it's impossible.
Because it was only this year that Saudi women were allowed to travel alone.
No, it's impossible.
That was a new thing.
How crazy that this is all only happening in 2019.
So I suppose they realized by default, by allowing Saudi women to travel alone, these Saudi women traveling had to stay in a hotel somewhere on their own.
Yeah. And it took them a couple of months to figure that out first. Yeah. In the past, for example, unmarried couples wanting to stay in a hotel had to actually prove that they were married. And so now they're saying that this is no longer required for tourists. And as of now, they're opening their doors to holidaymakers with the goal of diversifying the economy. This is all as well backed by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's vision to have this reform program to prepare the biggest Arab economy for a post-oil era.
Look, he's definitely, by international standards, he's still retrograde, but he's in Saudi terms, this guy's a revolutionary, this Crown Prince Salman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a major, major forward thinker by comparison with like the average Saudi, especially the you know, the clergy there, they're very backward people, and this guy is racing ahead. So we've just got to bear in mind that in Saudi Arabia, he's considered super progressive, scares some people, even though the rest of us are like, wow, you're letting women and men rent hotel rooms
unmarried
together.
Unmarried couples?
Ooh.
The kingdom had previously only issued visas to Muslim pilgrims, foreign workers, and only recently as well started to open up briefly to spectators at sporting or cultural events. But now they're loosening up with everything in total. But also don't get too excited. Don't think they're being too liberal here, because they are still standing by their laws of people who violate public decency. So that includes people wearing immodest clothing and show public displays of affections. Yes, you would Leanne, still be subjected to fines.
You're wearing short sleeves.
I've got
today.
A bit of lace at the
and
top.
A bit of lace at the top, you sex cat.
You know what you are striking up and provoking.
Yeah.
And slits up the side.
Oh! Oh. Jezebel!
Jezebel's exactly right.
I feel so sexy right now.
And I hope they're just fines. I don't want to die. Imagine you just minding your own business.
Dude,
it's warm and you're wearing shorts.
Hey, some of this stuff can lead to death, huh? Messing around in that country.
Oh, on a lighter note.
Yeah, thanks.
Entries are now open for what? Family Feud SA.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Miss South Africa. I was just getting ready.
And what sort of hoops do you need to jump through to enter?
Yeah, what do you have to do to be on Family Feud SA?
Well, firstly, you've got to hurry the fuck up because the entries close on the 21st of October. They haven't given much time to enter. In that time, you need to find out and prove that your family consists of five members who are related to each other via blood, marriage, or legal adoption.
Okay.
Right.
You must be fully, honestly, and accurately completing any forms or documents and provide any information requested from you at any time. You have to provide a video of your family. You must reside in Johannesburg, Cape Town, or Durban. You must be 18 years or older on November the 10th. Must be a legal South African resident, and you may not have been convicted of any offence, and this is everyone in your family, subject to any court order relating to assault, violence, sexual misconduct, or harassment.
If I entered my family, they'd just never pitch. They wouldn't want to be on TV.
I mean, imagine just getting them together for a video just for this.
Yeah, my parents would not want to go. My sister wouldn't want to go. My brother wouldn't want to go. I'd be left alone.
So I guess they love you're not
you,
entering.
Yeah, they love you, but they love me, but they don't want to be on TV.
Oh.
They don't, my family do not like television.
It would be so funny having your family doing this.
They would hate it. I think it would be funny too, but they would never do it.
It's such a fun show.
And frankly, neither would I. Why would I want to be on stupid Family Feud? I understand that there are people who would be very entertaining on this show. Mm. I'm not one of them. Gugu, could you be on this show? You're on another show. When is your show coming on?
I hear it's the 18th of this month. If I'm not mistaken,
you
but
better it's
soon.
Better find out and let us know, man.
Yeah, it's pretty soon. It's happening this month. I don't know.
You
man.
Don't tell us anything.
Yeah, I don't tell. Yeah, you're right. There's,
but he's not allowed to say much.
Well, I think now I can talk about
it. Now, surely they want you to promote it.
No, now I can talk about it. First dates, guys.
First date. So yeah. I've watched the American version and the Australian version is currently on.
What moment. Happens on the show?
It's called 50.
First
Date. Are
you having a stroke?
Yeah, I can smell burnt toast. And it's a restaurant. Now I wanted to ask you, can you reveal which restaurant they've used?
It's a restaurant in, is it Greenside? Greenside, yes, okay. Yes. So it's. I mean, I've been on TV, done TV, but the set... on First Dates is pretty intense and the amount of people on set.
Okay, but what is the point of this show? Leanne, maybe you explain it and then Google can fill in his experience.
Yeah. So everybody in this restaurant is on a first date.
Everyone?
Yes.
Everyone. We don't know each other.
So you're just one of a bunch of people.
No, but each week they feature a couple from two or three couples.
At different tables. And you get to listen in on
their conversation.
You get
to hear their backgrounds. You listen in on the whole conversation. There's a before interviewing process. There's an after where you decide, do you want to go on a second date with each other?
That's the most awkward.
Or not.
But
it was awkward, actually.
But you didn't choose her.
I felt so bad, I'll be honest. So they'd get us into a room individually at the end afterwards and ask us...
Okay, but don't reveal that. Just tell us how you ended up with this girl. Did they choose
her? No.
They get you in for an interview, ask you what you want, what you like, what's your spec, and you give them the spec.
This is not a car, Google. This is a human being. How dare you?
What you want spec? What your spec is,
right?
Ugh.
These girls must feel so special when they go out with
you. Come on, carry on going and speaking, Romeo. Yeah,
just give them the
if
spec.
I can just stop you, don't give away too much.
Yeah. And then
because that's they half match a surprise.
You. They match you. Okay, and then you have a date and they film it.
You don't know who it's going to be. Like, even on the day, you've never seen this person.
You don't even know their name.
Yeah, and at the bar, this person just sneaks up on you from behind. It's like, hello, it's me.
Or you're the one who arrives second.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you have dinner.
Then you order, have dinner.
And then do they film you guys after that as well?
Yes, they put you in a room afterwards.
Oh. So it's just the date.
Yeah,
they don't follow you home.
No. So the whole thing is how well can these people be matched? And maybe don't say anything here. Mm-hmm. But just judging from the American and the Australian ones, they're flipping good at matching these people up. Like, literally, the guy will be saying, yeah, I like a feisty redhead who likes... comic stuff and dressing up and cosplay,
and they literally find
that person.
Dude, I saw like right next to my table at the restaurant a black chick and a fat white dude, and you could see there was no vibe there. Like, they were barely talking to each other.
After Leanne just said don't reveal much on
the
point,
the weirdest like combination.
Yeah.
Well, I think so the weird success of the show is innately there's this small bit in each of us to have a fly on the wall complex. You know, there are sometimes you do want to listen in and go, I wonder what they're talking about.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this.
And the show gives you that.
Highly awkward.
I love it.
It looks
awkward.
So some tables.
Awkward. All of it.
Mm. Okay. We'll see soon enough.
All right, so Gugu makes his television debut in this particular show next week.
Right. Ooh.
Luckily, I'll be overseas, so I don't need to watch
You always get out of these things, watching local shows.
All right, that's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 8 o'clock. Sia's last show. He's off to America tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
And we will also catch up with the Burning Platform, among other things, recording a bunch of Blind History today. So stick around. There's going to be some good stuff heading your way soon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I chose this song for you. You'll like the lyrics.
CliffCentral.com